Good morning, children. Can you say that a little louder so everybody knows what they're supposed to say? No. I'm sure you can. I was just joking with Adela when I said, good morning, children. She was like, good morning, Pastor. I said, I want you to say that louder. And she said, you want me to? I said, that's okay. How's everybody? I'm going to give you a little meditation to think about before we start. Yesterday, as you all know, 20th anniversary of 9/11, I want to invite you, if anybody knew anyone, if you want to name them here so that we can remember them and all of those other, perhaps unknown to us, to just remember them and their lives. And does anybody have any people that they knew who... I worked at a hotel downtown, like 2 blocks from the World Trade Center. And there were a lot of people who would come in for lunch. I'm sure, you know, a lot of them worked at the World Trade Center, so I'm sure. But I don't know who, because I had left by then, you know. So yeah, let's just take a moment to remember those lives and the lives they left behind. Thank you. Normally, I'm not a fan of applauding in church for like preludes and things, but yeah, I'm with you on that one. Thank you. That was great. Did you know all of them? Really? No? Anybody? Yeah? Really? What was the third one?
Okay, the order of Jesus loves the little children.
Jesus loves the little children.
Jesus wants me for a sunbeam.
Jesus wants me for a sunbeam.
The butterfly song.
Oh,
if
the butterfly
song. If I were a butterfly, we thank God for butterflies. And, they talk about all the different, the fish in the sea.
Oh, No, I don't know that one.
And,
it doesn't exist. I don't know it. This little light of mine, right?
And Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me, right?
And I have the joy.
Yeah. When we sang, I have the joy down in my heart, you know, you get progressively longer as you sing the verses, right?
Yeah.
So there's one verse that's like, I have the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer down in the depths of my heart, right? It gets longer and longer and longer.
And the last one is praise him, praise him.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't know that one either.
Praise him, all you little children.
Oh, okay, yeah. That sounds vaguely familiar, yeah. But we didn't sing that, so it doesn't exist. Peace be with you. So it's back to Sunday school Sunday. We don't have any meetings today, right? Anything? No announcements, right? Right? Ron says no, so we can move on. Okay, so let's join together in our call to worship. Oh,
good
yes,
morning.
Please rise for the call to worship. Thank you.
Praise be to God who has called us together. We come here seeking healing and hope. Open your hearts to God's redeeming love. Help us to hear your words, O Lord, and follow your ways. Amen.
This next song is a Sunday school that I sang. I would be very surprised if any of you knew it, but I'd be happy if you did. We used to sing this, and on thank you, you clap twice. So thank you. So you can try that if you want, because clapping doesn't spread any COVID, right? So we'll be safe. It's almost like Simon says, right? You want to clap, but you're not supposed to clap. Anyway. Please be seated. We're taught from an early age that it is not right to do wrong. And we are taught that when we do wrong, it is right to ask forgiveness from our family, from our parents, from our families, from our friends. Just as we do this in our everyday lives, so we do it here in church every Sunday. So let us ask forgiveness for God for those things that we have done wrong and for those things that we have left undone.
O God, like an errant child, we come to you asking for your forgiveness, yet knowing that we are not worthy of it. We shun people at work because they don't believe the things we believe. We turn away from those on the streets who have their hands out because they don't get a job and take care of their own needs. We take out our frustration on our spouse, our kids, our loved ones, when all they have done is come to seeking for our love. Oh God, like a loving parent, you stretch your hands out and with a comforting embrace tell us we are forgiven. We are to embrace others for this diversity. We are to welcome those who are strangers into the light of our hospitality. We are to intentionally set aside time to listen to our children read or offer to hold the hand of a friend who is hurting. Oh God, as you forgive us, let us forgive one another in the name of Jesus, the one who is forgiveness incarnate. Amen.
Amen. I invite you to a few moments of silence for your own personal confessions. We had turned away from God, but God turned us around, has mercy on us, and sent us on our faith journey renewed and refreshed. Friends, believe this good news. In Christ Jesus, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And the beloved community says, Amen. Amen. So, a big part of Sunday school when I was growing up was when Mrs. Henderson would take us into class, and she would tell us Bible stories on a felt board that was better ironed than this was. And that's my fault. I'm not blaming anybody. I didn't iron it. And now I see how unironed it is. But anyway, so we had a felt board, which she would tell the stories with. You know, she would put, you familiar? Right, you would put the pictures up. So I made little figures last night, and while we hear the Bible story, I will put the images up on the felt.
The reading is from Mark 10, 13 to 16. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And they took him up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them.
I mentioned Mrs. Henderson, her daughter, Lois, was the Sunday school coordinator when I was growing up. Lois was amazing. I don't know how she did what she did because most of the kids who came to Sunday school when I was little were Catholic children from local Catholic families. Their families were members of the local Catholic church, but they were coming to Sunday school with us every Sunday. I don't know how she lured them in there, but I wish I knew, because then I would, I'd be out there doing the same, in an appropriate way. She also shared with me once, we used to go to church camp during the summers, 2 weeks every summer, Camp Iroquoina in Halstead, Pennsylvania. You know it, Guyane?
No.
Oh, okay. Guyane's nodding. I thought, oh, okay. Camp Iroquoina, Halstead, Pennsylvania, And the arrangement that Lois had made with my parents was that she would drive my friend Henry and I one way, and then my parents or she would drive us back the other way, right? They would alternate. And I remember one year, Lois was driving us up, and we stopped for lunch at a Burger King, and Lois started to explain to us her philosophy of Sunday school. And it was all about planting seeds. Her whole thought, there's another Sunday school song that we've, the Johnny Appleseed song? You know that one, right? Anyway, so her whole philosophy was planting seeds. She was planting seeds in these kids, knowing that they belonged to other church tradition, but that she just trusted that the Spirit would develop in them somehow, and they would move forward. And I always remember that. I was only 10 years old. A, I don't know why she was explaining her philosophy of Sunday school to a 10-year-old, but something led her to do it, and it stuck, and here we are. And that is the foundation of everything I believe came from there. It's interesting, I was thinking about it last night, and although I was not raised Methodist, there is kind of a Wesleyan quadrilateral to the things that we did in Sunday school. The first thing that we talk about in the Wesleyan quadrilateral, the base of this four-pronged quadrangle, is Scripture. I'm going to take this down. Have you all enjoyed this long enough? Keep an eye on that guy, Ann, okay? Don't let anybody steal it. We would memorize Bible verses like this one. I chose this for no particular reason, but we do live in Sonoma County, wine country. So this is, I am the vine, you are the branches. So we would come into Sunday school and she would have the verses written out and we would read it together. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. And so we would read it, and then she would invite somebody from the group of children there to come up and erase three words. Adela, will you come up and erase three words? Any three. Adela is concentrating on this as she walks up, like she's carefully thinking about what three words. Okay. Wow. Wow. And then we would read it again with these now missing words. And eventually, the whole thing would be erased, and we would be saying the whole verse. Do you think we could do it? We failed miserably at St. John's this morning, just so you know. Excuse me, I failed miserably at St. John's this morning and just aborted the mission. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Yeah, so you're already beating me. So how about Sue Sarno, you want to come up and take a line out? A whole line. Yeah. That line, huh? Mm-hmm. Good job. Thank you. I am the vine, you are the branches. All who abide in me, and I in them, bear much fruit because... Right. I think you're ready to erase the whole thing. Right? No? Want to do one more line? Okay. Chris, you want to come up and erase one more line? I'm picking people on the edges. I'm not because it'll be easier for them to come out. You understand that, right?
They'd be the most hated guy.
Oh, you're a softie.
I want to be able to come back.
I am the vine, you are the branches. Wow, you guys are good. All right. Can we do it? You are the branches, those who abide in me, and I in them. It's good enough. You need a little practice, that's all. But you know, that was really great. So there is the bottom, the base, the foundation of the quadrilateral. Do you remember? Okay, here's quiz question number one. Remember last week I told you there would be a quiz with prizes? Can you name the other three, you know, so scripture, and the other three sides of the Wesleyan quadrilateral? Okay, you have to raise your hand. Don't just... I had to mute somebody on Zoom this morning at St. John's because she kept calling out answers. June, you have them?
Oh, the three? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I was going to get one.
Okay.
But it was scripture and we already did that.
Okay.
Oh, I know one. Reason.
Okay, that's one.
Tradition.
That's another one.
That's
tradition. Yeah. So we have scripture, reason, tradition. What kind of Wesleyan are you? No, you're not. I know you know. The person who gets this last one gets the prize. Stop. You got it? Mm-mm. No. No. Experience. Frank, you win. The prize is this little sticker in the shape of John Wesley. If you liked it, he loves it. So the scripture is the base. Experience is the good one. That's what I was thinking of in that exercise, right? This whole service that we're having has been based on my experience of Sunday school as a kid and what I brought with me to develop into, you know, the onward towards perfection Christian that I am. Okay. So another thing that we used to do in Sunday school was Lois would read to us a book in serialization. So every week she would read a little portion of a book. And she read this book, The Hiding Place, at least three times that I can remember. Do you know it?
Oh, I do. I heard her speak.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
Little Lady in Jackson, Mississippi.
Jackson, Mississippi.
At a Billy Graham revival.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah. So she was a Dutch lady, and she grew up in Holland, the Netherlands, and was there during World War II. So her father was a clockmaker, clock fixer and fixer, repairer, clockmaker. And she and her sister lived with him to adulthood. They never married, neither of them. And when the Nazis came in to Holland, Harlem, where they lived, and started to, you know, persecute Jews and export them to concentration camps, they decided that they would hide them in their house. So they would live with them, and then they would get a signal, and they would all have to hide in this little secret room that they built. Like, it wasn't that big, but, you know, small. And then they get caught. And they get sent to concentration camps or prison. And this is the this is their first arrest and their experience being brought to the prison. Outside Harlem, the bus took the South Road, paralleling the sea. On our right rose the low, sandy hills of the dune country, soldiers silhouetted on the ridges. Clearly, we were not being taken to Amsterdam. A two-hour drive brought us instead into the streets of The Hague. The bus stopped in front of a new, functional building. Word was whispered back that this was the Gestapo headquarters for all of Holland. We were marched into a large room where the endless process of taking down names, address, and occupations began all over again. As each of the prisoners from Harlem reached the desk, one of the other would lean forward and speak to a man seated at a typewriter, and there would be a clatter of sound from the machine. Suddenly, the chief interrogator's eye fell on my father. "That old man," he cried. "Did he have to be arrested? You, old man." Willem led my father up to the desk. The Gestapo chief leaned forward. "I'd like to send you home, old fellow," he said. "I'll take your word that you won't cause any more trouble." I could not see my father's face, only the erect carriage of his shoulders and the halo of white hair above them. But I heard his answer. "If I go home today," he said evenly and clearly, "tomorrow I will open my door again to any man in need who knocks." The amiability drained from the other man's face. "Get back in line," he shouted. "This court will not tolerate more. Will tolerate no more delays." And then there's some more about more delays and waiting. And finally, Corey, the author of the book, gets called up to the stand. Then all at once, I was standing in front of the chief questioner. I looked up and met Captain's eyes. This is another person that she knows, just behind him. "This woman was the ringleader," he said. Though the turmoil inside me, I realized it was important for the other man to believe him. "What Mr. Captain says is true," I said. "These others, they know nothing about it. It was all my name," the interrogator inquired imperturbably. "Cornelia Ten Boom, and I'm age 52. The rest of these people had nothing to do with occupation. But I've told you a dozen times," I burst out in desperation. "Occupation," he repeated. It was dark night when we were marched out at last out of the building. The green bus was gone. Instead, we made out the bulk of a large canvas-roofed army truck. Two soldiers had to lift Father over the tailgate. The truck had no springs and bounced roughly over the bomb-pitted streets of The Hague. I slipped my arm behind Father's back to keep him from striking the edge. Willem, standing near the back, whispered back what he could see of the blacked-out city. We had left the downtown section and seemed to be headed west toward the suburb of Scheveningen. How do you say it? Oh. I can't say that again, but okay. That was our destination then, the federal penitentiary named after this seaside town. The truck jerked to a halt. We heard a screech of iron. We bumped forward a few feet and stopped again. Behind us, massive gates clanged shut. We climbed down to find ourselves in an enormous courtyard surrounded by a high brick wall. The truck had backed up to a long, low building. Soldiers prodded us inside. I blinked in the white glare of bright ceiling lights. "Noses to the wall." I felt a shove from behind and found myself staring at cracked plaster. I turned my eyes as far as I could. First left and right, there was Willem. 2 paces away from him, my sister Betsy. All like me, standing with our faces to the wall. But where was Father? There was an endless wait while the scars on the wall before my eyes became faces, landscapes, animal shapes. Then someone to the right, somewhere to the right, a door opened. Women prisoners, follow me. The matron's voice sounded as metallic as the squealing door. As I stepped away from the wall, I glanced swiftly round the room for Father. There he was, a few feet out from the wall, seated in a straight-backed chair. One of the guards must have brought it for him. Already the matron was starting down the long corridor, and I could see through the door. But I hung back, gazing desperately at Father, Willem, Peter, all our brave underground workers. Father, I cried suddenly, God be with you. His head turned toward me. The harsh overhead light flashed from his glasses. And with you, my daughters, he said. I turned and followed the others. Behind me, the door slammed closed. And with you, and with you. Oh, Father, when will I see you next? Excuse me, that teared up a little. So that was my Sunday school experience. This lady, Lois, shared her experience, her reason. We can show an example of reason here today when I'm giving out prizes, because another thing we did in church was the chocolate seat. I think this was how Lois got kids to come to Sunday school. Do you know what the chocolate seat is? So she would have like a basket like this, and in it were, you know, tags with seat locations, right? So row 3, seat 4. So, you know, the third row back, the seat 4, and that person got the chocolate seat. And the prize would be a Linzer tart, a black and white cookie, something good, something better than a Wesley sticker, right? And that kind of got us to keep coming back, because you always wanted to win the chocolate seat. So we use reason, because that's not really going to work for us, right? We're in alternate rows, and how many people are sitting in each seat? So I'm going to make it a quiz. So we have another quiz question for you. Are you ready? Last week, one of the songs we played, the opening song, I think, right, was Oh, 4,000 Tongues to Sing. And I shared that Marilyn and I had been talking about it, and we said that it was the Methodist denominational anthem. And we also mentioned another song, which we said was probably the Lutheran, not probably, which is the Lutheran denominational anthem. Does anybody know or remember what that song is?
Who wrote it?
What the name of the song? It was written by Martin Luther. That's why the Lutherans. A mighty fortress is our God. And look what you got, that guy. Yay! I have a million of these. Not a million, but a lot. So we have these foundations. If you grew up in Sunday school, you have learned a foundation of God loving you and of forgiveness and of standing up to oppression when it is happening around you. Because you know, we know that God is with us and loves us and supports us in doing what is right and sharing that love with everyone. It's the same thing I tell you every week, because that's what I was learned, what I learned as a boy in Sunday school. Good and gracious God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together every week in this beautiful building to remember those who we love and those who loved us, to celebrate them, and to be in each other's company, to encourage each other and remind each other that God loves us. You love us and invite us to share that love with those around us. We have lifted up prayers for those who are suffering and those who are working hard to relieve suffering. We lift those prayers to you with the memory and the request for strength to remember that we are your hands, ears, eyes, feet in the world today, and it is for us to take our part in helping to spread your love to others. We lift up this prayer and all prayers in the name of our brother Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
In preparation to our giving, hear these words. You are what you eat. You are what you read. You are what you give. May our offerings reflect health and wholeness as we share God's gifts through the church.
We rejoice, O God, that you have not abandoned us to our own greed or failed to call us to account for the use of resources in our care. Thank you for this moment in worship amidst your people when we are able to come bearing gifts that you use to bless the world. Humbly, we are aware that these offerings given out of love for you are also the gifts that you use to deliver us from our own self-centeredness. In the name of the one who came teaching us to give and offering us the gifts of bread and cup, and the beloved people say, Amen. You might not know this one. Our closing hymn is Jesus Loves Me. Labor to bring forth new life. Dream dreams. Pursue visions. Speak of God's goodness in the words of those who would hear. And may the God who breathed life into creation be your delight. May Jesus Christ give hope to your dreaming. And may the Holy Spirit, your advocate and supporter, set your hearts ablaze with a passion for peace. Go and serve our God.